Hey, Peter.
Yes.
Well, this is nice.
This is nice?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, I see you got a big, thick sweater on there.
Yeah, but it feels too heavy for this music.
Where we're going today, you're not going to need that.
It's sunny, right? And there's probably at least one rainbow? Maybe a double?
Absolutely.
Triple? Mm. I'm Adam Maness.
And I'm Peter Martin.
And you're listening to the You'll Hear It podcast.
Music Explained.
Music Explained is back.
Isn't that what we do?
It is what we do.
And we celebrate music.
And if you want to celebrate music with us, go to openstudiojazz.com and start your free trial today and check out Open Studio.
If you want to learn about the engineering, the underpinnings, the way we do it, the way they do it, we can all do it.
I got a shout out just now from producer Caleb for, he said elegant, and for the transition between the soothing tones of the Joe Beam tune into the theme
song. It was good.
Song.
Yeah. But what he didn't say was très elegant. That would be very elegant.
That would be extremely
in a European language from a far, far away land.
Yeah. An ascot.
We are coming, by popular request, we are going to revisit our award-winning new feature.
Oh, yes. It's won many awards already.
Well, I'm looking to the future.
Doesn't Downbeat have a poll for best podcast features? Yeah, best jazz piano podcast features?
They should. This is our recurring weekly What Makes This Album Great.
Okay.
It's our third, I believe. Is that correct?
This is our third.
I know we did Herbie Hancock last time.
Empyrean Isles.
And of course, we start out with the great
Thelonious Monk.
Right. Alone in San Francisco.
Yeah. Thelonious Alone in San Francisco. We've had some crazy titles so far, because even that, now you said Imperial Isles, and it's Empyrean Isles.
Well, not this week. It's Double Rainbow, the music of Antonio Carlos. Actually, it's Double Rainbow, colon. Mm-hmm. This is like a ChatGPT title before its time, like 30 years before. Double Rainbow, colon, the music of Antonio Carlos Jobim. And that's one of our... Title is one of our criteria,
like,
so we're going to get
to that. ChatGPT, I want a title for my new album. It features all compositions by Antonio Carlos Jobim, and I want it to have a sunny flavor to it. And it would say, Double Rainbow.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But this is, I love this record. Wow. I've loved it since it came out.
Who's really, it by?
Joe Henderson.
There we go.
The great Joe Henderson. Verve Records, mid-90s, I think, 94. It came out in 95, was recorded in 94.
Yeah.
I was very close by when this was recorded, so I have a little bit of...
Now, what do you mean by close by?
I was physically in the city of New York when they were recording it. Yeah, I almost went by the studio. I should have. Christian McBride's on this record, a bunch of great people. I chickened out or had something else to do, which would have been fun. But it's a classic record. So Joe Henderson did three. Well, he did a bunch of records for Verve. But in the mid-90s, he did three kind of pinnacle tribute records, one for Miles, one for Joe Beam, and one for Billy Strayhorn. I think Strayhorn was the first one, which is a really cool record.
So he really had a dream mid-career, Joe Henderson.
He did.
I think because he had a strong early part of his career, but that 90s period, this is some of his best music.
It was fantastic. And I heard this record, of course, I've heard this a lot, but I heard him touring with a slight adjustment to the band that's at the beginning. There's two different bands on this record. Mm-hmm. There's actually kind of three in a way.
Hence Double Rainbow.
Maybe. I don't know. But the I heard them tour with Elio Alves on piano, who's not on the record. But
he's an open studio artist.
Open studio artist and friend of the pod. Anyway, just to say that, like, a lot of my memories of Joe Henderson were from this period, playing this repertoire so beautifully. And anyway, we'll get into the story about it when we get to 8 Lore. Should we refresh them on our 10-part criteria?
So we have our criteria that we're rating this record on. We have playing, vibe, compositions, sound, sequence, cover art, title, lore, snobometer, and
which is our proprietary one.
It is. And is it better than Kind of Blue?
Yes. So shall we jump right in?
Yeah.
Let's get into playing here.
Okay.
So, like I said, there's two different bands, the two different rhythm sections, of course, with Joe Henderson. The first four tracks feature Elian Elias, the fantastic Brazilian pianist, who I just saw recently on the Jazz Cruise. Killing it, as always, along with Paulo Braga, who was a fantastic drummer who toured with him a bunch, Brazilian, and Nico Assumpção. So let's listen to a little bit of this Dreamer. Well, let me turn up the volume a little bit. So a bunch of, like, lesser-known Jobim compositions on this record, which I think is fun. He's already writing.
Full eye contact as I wrote that.
Okay, let me play just excerpts from three. There's basically three different instrumentations. There's the rhythm section, this sort of Brazilian rhythm section, we'll call it, with Joe, which is, of course, quartet. Then there's one track, I believe it's just one. I love this. I remember hearing them do it. Oscar Castro Neves. Shout out Oscar Castro Neves. Fantastic guitarist that I knew a little bit from this period. He's no longer with us, but one of the great Brazilian jazz guitarists. He co-produced this record, really put a lot of the music together along with Joe and the whole approach because, well, we'll get into that with Lore. But he does one, they do one duo. And they used to do this live a bunch. And I believe Joe Henderson had been playing, I know he'd been playing back in the 70s, maybe even back to the 60s, Once I Love, which is, of course, one of Jobim's most famous songs, unlike a lot of these that are lesser known. So, with a beautiful intro. I love this tune.
So good.
Okay, so that's, I just wanted to hit for the playing, the three different things. And then we've got, Herbie Hancock, Christian McBride, Jack DeJohnette on Photograph with Joe Henderson.
Is Jack DeJohnette here?
Yeah. A young Christian McBride, maybe 21, 22 years old. And then, of course,
hey.
This is some of my favorite Herbie. I always forget about this record when we're talking about Herbie, but I think it's some of his best. I think it's some of his best playing on record. You
so
know?
What are we going to give the playing, Peter?
Okay, well, I'm going 10.
I'm also going 10.
I noticed you jumped ahead a little bit there.
I have already finished my scorecard
okay.
here.
So playing is 10. I just wanted to show the three different configurations in case there was some crappy playing when we got to Joe Henderson. I mean, to Jack DeJohnette and Christian McBride.
Yeah,
and Herbie.
Like that was.
Turns out that didn't happen.
Yeah, somehow it's crazy. The playing is 10.
Okay, vibe.
I'm also going 10. The vibe of this album is unbelievable.
It's so good already, right?
We got to pick some worse albums. We've done three so far, and they've all been.
We're lovers, not haters.
They've all been iconic albums, and this is one of them. The vibe here is a 10 out of 10. It truly is.
Let me just play just a little bit of what I actually think is the I already have 10 as well. But this, I think, will push it above 10. Because to me, the vibe on this.
We can't go above 10, Peter. It's not possible. It's a scale to 1 to 10.
Okay, let's just listen to that chord.
Just listeners, if I let him, Peter would start pushing up to 11, and then he'd have to go 12. You know, the seven stars? Go ahead.
Okay, check out this. Just this chord. This tells you the vibe, and this will inform our sound as well.
Okay. Just crazy. So good. Throw the pen away.
Live. Are they in time or they're out of time? We don't care.
Okay. Vibe is a 10. Compositions.
Are we on LeBlanc Beach right now? Am I chilling with a caipirinha in my hand?
I wish we were.
In January when
I
it's summertime?
We were.
Come on, man. All right, so vibe 10, compositions. Now, we didn't listen to every composition, but they're all, and these are not the most known, a couple of them are, like the Once I Love we listened to, but these are not Triste.
This is my first 10 for compositions.
I'm going 10 too. Yeah. They're all really good.
They're all really good. I mean, you know, Joe Beam is a master. He's one of the great composers of all time. of the 20th century, certainly.
Transcends jazz, but has a lot of connection with jazz.
And these are tens. And they're, I think also, like, to Joe Henderson treats them in a way that you can't ignore how good the compositions are.
Right.
Sound, Peter, this is the first time for me too. I'm going 10 out of 10.
Wow.
This sounds incredible. That saxophone sound is amazing. And it's a 90s sound for sure.
Yeah.
But it's, I think this is one of the, and I think Verve in the 90s was crushing sound, by the way.
Yeah. And Shout out Richard Seidel, who produced it, co-produced along with Oscar Castroneves, but also Joe Moss, who was a great engineer on this. And
to me, for this era, this is a 10 out of 10.
So I'm going 9 on sound, only because this, I agree, it's very, very indicative, evocative of that era. To me, this is a very actively mixed record, which is, for me, is not like a huge deal, but I'm not as big of a fan of that. It's fun sometimes, like when it brings different things out, but to me, it gives it just this, I mean, this is a teeny detail, that's why I'm only going to 9, but it gets it a little bit like out of balance the way it would actually sound when you're hearing them in a way that's just slightly unnatural to me. But I mean, the sound of each instrument, I mean, there's 10
out of 10 for sure. That piano chord is unbelievable.
Yeah, so that's more about the mix, really.
So for me, so far I've got playing 10, vibe 10, compositions 10, sound 10. I'm all 10s. Next we come to the sequence, the track sequence.
Okay, sequence. I'm going 10 on this. I've listened to this record from beginning to end. Actually, I never listened to this on record. It's always been like CD or streaming.
Yeah,
so I don't know if it was even released. Oh, yeah, I guess it wouldn't have been released on record. So I was the only thing I was going to say, like, I don't know what it's like in terms of turning the record over. But the sequence, I think, is fantastic. And it's so hard when you have, like, two different bands. And I think the way that they placed the duo, guitar, saxophone duo, right in the middle at 5. I always love what's in the middle of a record, like kind of what's the centerpiece, if you will. That's such a great transition between the two different rhythms, when something that could have been awkward, because they approach, it's like the unifying thing, obviously, is Joe Henderson and Antonio Carlos Jobim, the music, right? The compositions and the lead artist. They're the only things that are on everything on this record. So making that transition as the rhythm section goes from incredible but different to the other one, I think they pulled it off great.
I have 8 for the sequence. I think it's really, really good, but I think it could be not perfect.
A low B.
It could be better.
B-. B minus.
Next up is cover art. Peter, controversial here for me, but I put a 5.
Can we take a look at it?
I put a 5 for the cover art, and you can, if you're listening to it, you can Google the cover art, Double Rainbow.
Well, you can just look at it right there, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's too, there's just too, there's a hat on a hat, first of all.
This is the 90s, though. This is the 90s. It's, I think it's a great picture of Joe.
Yep.
Joe Henderson.
That's about it.
Oh, it's a couple of pictures of him. Yeah, there are some hats on
hat. It's a hat on a hat.
But it's very, I like the, I'm going 6. I like it. I can tell I like it a little more.
I'm going 5.
Actually, you know what? I'm going.
Title, I'm going 8. It's good, not great. It would be, for me, it would be a 9
or 10. Is the ChatGPT pulling it down?
Yeah, it is actually. It would be a 9 or 10 if it was just Double Rainbow.
I agree.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with saying the music of the. It feels like the music of Antonio Carlos Jobim might have been put on by a Verve A&R.
I mean, it was part of the series or whatever. Okay, lore. So let me tell you a little story about this. This record was supposed to be. Now this is a little bit like as I'm remembering it and stuff, but I know that this is based on some truth with a grain of salt, please. It was going to be a collaboration between Jobim and Joe Henderson. They had been planning this. They had played together. And that was going to be what the... I remember Richard Seidel talking about that. It was going to be like playing the music of each other's maybe, but mostly Jobim stuff. Mm-hmm. And this was right around the time that Jobim died. Now, if I were to Google that and find out that Jobim died 10 years later, that's going to kind of screw me up. But I don't think that's the case. 1994, exactly. Okay, so I was correct. Anyway, I remember this, like they had been talking for a couple of years because I was involved with some other, I played on some Verve records right during this time. Some of my first records, like with Johnny Griffin, Roy Hargrove and stuff. So, and I, you know, I was kind of adjacent to some of these records and when they were making them. So I was actually shortlisted for a couple of, one of these Joe Henderson records.
But that's Are you
another
serious?
Story. Got beaten out by another great young pianist. But anyway, so the idea was that it was going to be them together. So when he passed, like they pivoted, and I don't know exactly how that happened, but I love this idea of who they brought in, the different rhythm sections, bringing some younger music. Well, Christian McBride was really the only really younger musician. But that's sort of like the real story behind it. And I think that idea, even if it's not widely known to me, pushes it to like a 9 on the lore. Also, just remembering how important this record was for Joe Henderson, for the night, for Verve.
Yep.
And like, even though there were these mega hits like with Shirley Horn that Wynton and Miles played on and stuff right before this, like this was a real kind of breakthrough of a little bit of an insider up to that point.
I'm
a master getting his due.
That's right. I'm putting a 9 for lore because of that master getting his due element to this, because it's a Joe Henderson. It's not a comeback by any means, but it's like, holy cow, this guy has been into his career for a couple decades now, and he is making the best music of his life, and it's really, really high quality.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, and then this added story, which I didn't know about till just now, of the Joe Beam connection there.
And also, I think it's kind of a little bit of a bookends with Joe Beam passing, then obviously his music continuing on even bigger than ever now, and beloved, but his connection with jazz, which has always been a two-way thing. He's influenced jazz influenced him, blues, just American music. Joe Beam talked about that a lot when he was younger. That whole generation of Brazilian musicians. But the idea that like another saxophone player back in the 60s, I guess early 60s, mid 60s, you know, the Stan Getz record that really popularized
Getz Gilberto
that they popularized jazz and the bossa nova thing in a big way. Not just that, there was other records too, and there was stuff, and there was the movie and stuff. But then like this is kind of a nice marker some 40 years later, 30 years later, whatever it was, of another saxophone player coming at it from a different place, like really pulling it even further into jazz, bringing Herbie Hancock as the sideman.
I know.
Hello.
I know.
You know. Yeah. And then a young Christian McBride who would become kind of the master of our generation. Jack Dejean. I mean.
Yeah, the connection.
Elaine Elias, one of the best Brazilian jazz pianists.
Yeah, totally.
So that's is a lot of different things. Actually, I would almost go 10 with lore.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay with 9.
Okay. The Snobometer. I have it as a 7. I have it as a 7 on the Snobometer. I think jazz snobs would like it.
Refresh me on the Snobometer. I get very confused.
But I think jazz snobs would not admit that it's one of their favorite records because of the bossa nova element to it. Do you know what I mean?
Ooh, but I think I'm going to go 8. And the reason is because you're right. But I think a lot of others would say, oh, but this is the most authentic jazz reading of this music that could be less snobby. Like it's almost this a snobby approach to it could be. I don't know, but it could be like a snobby approach to Joe Beam's music, like really because it's not his biggest hits. It's got a couple of them.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
I could see where I could see where you're at.
Does that make it lower or higher?
It makes it higher. It makes it if the snobs like it, it's high.
Right. Right. Yeah. But Aunt Linda would love this. But I don't know.
I think we're taking Aunt Linda out of the equation. It's not about if the masses love it. It's about if the snobs love it. Because the snobs will love something that's good, even if the masses love it.
Hold on a second. Is it the Snobometer or the Aunt Linda meter?
No, it's the Snobometer.
Okay, Snobometer.
Okay.
Got it.
Finally, is it better or
worse? Okay.
Is it better or worse than Kind of Blue?
Wait, let me think about it. Have you put down your answer to this?
Yes. Okay. I have said
it. Don't say it. Okay. Because I'm going to put, I don't want to be influenced. I mean, geez.
Come on, buddy. What does your gut tell you?
I'm going yes.
Whoa!
I'm going it's better.
It's better than
for
Kind
me,
of Blue.
For me. It's a great record.
It is not better than Kind of Blue.
What?
No. It is not.
Okay.
But for you it is, but it's not for me.
This is an A-level record.
I'm not saying it's an A-level record. I'm just saying to me it is, I don't enjoy it more than I enjoy Kind of Blue. But
I'm sorry, is number 10, do you enjoy it more than Kind of Blue, or is it better than
it is not. In my opinion, it's not.
Okay,
this is subjective. Okay, right. Shall we add up our scores?
Let's do it.
Okay. Okay.
We got it.
All right, I'll go first. Ready?
Okay.
Yes. My total score?
Yep.
77 favorite track, Triste.
Okay, that's very good. Again, a solid C.
It's not a C, but I have noted now that all three of my scores have been in the upper 70s.
That's right, right. My total score is an 89.
Whoa, that's a good
high
score.
B plus, which is might as well be
an F for Peter Martin. For those of you who don't know, Peter Martin once famously said,
Kelly Martin said that. I got that from Kelly Martin.
She told
one of our children. They brought home a B plus.
A B plus, it might as well be an F.
Yeah, they're like, it might as well be an F. Okay, anyway, 89. My favorite track, Happy Madness, that duo with Herbie.
It's a great track.
But I mean, I could have been any of them. Really.
All right. Well, I think
that was fun.
Time, yeah.
That's a great record, man.
It's a great record. Next time we might do something in the 70s. Maybe pick something in the 70s.
From the 70s? Well, all of yours are in the 70s.
Well, that's my score. That's my score. Till then, happy practicing.
You'll hear it.
Oh, right.
Three.